Greetings in the name of Christ, and welcome to Concord Matters, a show that seeks unity in life, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by his word we may come to Christian unity by the study of the clear and concise teachings confessed in the Book of Concord. We believe here on Concord Matters that what you confess matters. It matters because salvation is at stake. As Paul tells Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on the doctrine. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I'm your host, Pastor Brady Finneran, President of the Minnesota North District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thank you for joining us on Worldwide KFUO, Christ for you anytime, anywhere. We continue our enriching study of Luther's Large Catechism. I'm finding myself every single time reading and studying and praying, really, through Luther's Large Catechism of how practical, pastoral, and I want to say proclaimable or preachable Luther's words are, and it is especially true today with the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. He expands on what he says in the Small Catechism, which I will recite now, where it says in the Small Catechism, give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives us daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Well, if you have any questions about what daily bread is, I think the list is expansive. So we'll expand on that today. So open up your Bible and open up your Book of Concord as we confess the truth. If you have any questions concerning our study of Luther's Large Catechism, send us an email, kfuo@kfuo.org, kfuo@kfuo.org. Joining us in the Confession of Christ, we welcome back Pastor Jack Gilbert of St. John Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Pastor Gilbert, welcome back to Concord Matters.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back.
All right. Well, let's get right into it here, Pastor. The fourth petition is a really, I want to say, a fun part of the Large Catechism. Can I say that? Can I say fun in this? How does that work?
It's allowed. Yeah, it's allowed.
It's allowed. Very good. And now a warning to all of our listeners. Last time Pastor Gilbert was on, he had at least five movie references. So I don't want to make a bet. I don't want to prove anything. But let's see if he can get at least five or six in this one today. Fair enough, Pastor?
That's a stretch. It's a stretch.
All right. We'll see what happens. But let's dig in. We're in the Book of Concord, Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, a reader's edition to the Book of Concord. We're on page 417, the fourth petition. We'll begin with a note. Daily bread encompasses everything we need for our life here on earth. Luther explains in this petition that our greatest need is good governing authorities. Through them, God provides us with what we need for this body and life. Nothing in this life will be good, quote-unquote, unless we live in peace and security. History readily proves Luther's point. The devil is intent on thwarting good government and causing unrest and turmoil. Yet God gives daily necessities even to the wicked. God wants us to pray for them too, so that we recognize that he gives us all good things as a gracious gift. Pastor Gilbert, fourth petition. How do you want to start us off?
Yeah, the interesting point here is you think, give us this day our daily bread, and you're instantly going to be thinking about, you know, food. But as the note explains, and as Luther, of course, gets into, you got to look at where does food come from? And that's an important question. And, of course, it comes first from God's open hand. But God works through means. As Lutherans, we have a great appreciation for this reality. And it is not just the means of grace by which we are saved, our faith is strengthened, sustained, but he also works through people. We are all here as instruments of his love for our neighbor in response to the love that we have first received from him. And so with the fourth petition, as Jesus goes through the Lord's Prayer, he covers everything we need in this life. When I do the chapel service here at our school for our preschool and kindergarten students, we always end with the Lord's Prayer, of course. And I tell them after we pray it, I say, hey, that is such a good prayer. I say, it covers everything we need in this life, and it gets us ready for the life that is to come. And then I encourage them to pray it again, you know, before bedtime with whichever parent or family member is with them. And if they forget, just ask them, hey, can we pray the Lord's Prayer? Now, when it comes to eighth grade, when I'm teaching the eighth graders, I give them a little bit more. And I say, this prayer covers everything you need. And I say, pray it tonight before you go to bed and pray it every night until you're dead. But it shows us the value of this prayer, that Jesus knows what he's doing when he gives us this prayer, which is at the request of his disciples, by the way. And it also shows us our need for him every single day. And he, through this petition, is pointing us to see those whom he uses to provide for our needs, to care for us, to protect us, and to even feed us.
What I love is Luther doesn't, in the Small Catechism, and he'll do it today as well, he does not allow us to think, well, okay, what is daily bread? He goes through absolutely every single thing that we can list off. And specifically, as it tells us in the note, that we do want to include government. And he's going to speak more about this later. I just wanted to, that's something that I've noticed as I visit congregations, that and you look at the Lutheran service book and you look at history and hymnals and the prayers of a Lutheran, the reformers and so forth, is that they're continually praying for the government, not saying if you will vote one direction, but that they will be godly leaders. And so this is a very important distinction that we have as Lutherans for us to understand the two kingdoms. I just want to hear if you have any opening thoughts about that, how much Luther focuses on good government.
Yeah, but it's not only that, but it's also where, you know, those prayers include, you know, where they are erring, bring them to repentance, you know? Mm-hmm, right. I mean, there's men who have been the president in this nation that I did not vote for. There's men that have been president in this nation that I did vote for. There's not been a man who's been the president of this nation with whom I agreed on every political point. And I don't expect that to happen. And at the same time, you know, in Luther's time especially, I mean, government, obviously church and state, as we call it now, were very intertwined. And Luther's protection at times depended on who was in control of wherever he was at that time.
Right, right.
And so Luther's, with his explanation, his deeper explanation here in the Large Catechism on the fourth petition, we can take a lot from his own, you know, that period of time and the political dynamic of his day. And we can still apply it to ours. I mean, there are political leaders that stand against God's word. And there are some that seem to be more in favor. But you want to be careful saying, oh, you know, politician A is evil, devil, you know, antichrist. And then politician B is, you know, he descended from heaven and he's here to fix everything. Because I can remember the first presidential election that I was able to vote in. It was the year 2000. And it was Bush versus Gore.
Al Gore, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, okay, and that went to the Supreme Court. That got pretty tricky. Okay, so Bush wins. And then September 11th. But then, you know, Bush terms out. Oh, and while Bush was in, he's the Antichrist. There were many people saying, George W. Bush is the Antichrist. And then 8 years later, Barack Obama gets in. And didn't take long for a lot of people to be saying, Barack Obama is the Antichrist. I'm like, okay, guys, let's all take a step back here. And where our elected officials are doing God-pleasing things, we should point it out. We should, you know, give credit or thanks. And we should be thankful to God for that. Where they are going in ways that are in opposition to God's word, we should point it out. And we should say, this is not a good example. This is something that is going to harm people, if not our nation. And this is something that we pray the Lord will bring an end to according to his timing. You know, Luther's day and our day, of course, quite different. Thankfully, our theology hasn't changed.
Right.
And our view of the role of government should be filtered through this portion of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gives us.
Well, let's dig into it then. We're on page 417. We'll begin with section 71. Give us this day our daily bread. Here, now, we consider the poor bread basket, the necessities of our body and of the temporal life. It is a brief and simple word, but it has a very wide scope. For when you mention and pray for daily bread, you pray for everything that is necessary in order to have and enjoy daily bread. On the other hand, you also pray against everything that interferes with it. Therefore, you must open wide and extend your thoughts not only to the oven or the flour bin, but also to the distant field and the entire land, which bears and brings us to daily bread and every sort of nourishment. For if God did not cause food to grow, and he did not bless and preserve it in the field, we could never take bread from the oven or have any to set upon the table. So, Pastor, as he speaks, he's kind of saying, hey, make sure your prayers have a wider scope. Break that down for us.
Yeah. He doesn't get into the digestive tract or process, which, you know, that's fine. Maybe we should be thankful for that, too. But he's really pointing to the external realities of all that goes into the fact that you could have a morsel of bread. And this is a very common understood biblical concept that bread and work go together. You know, Paul says, mm-hmm. he who does not work shall not eat bread. But even from the very beginning, from Adam's fall into sin, bread is brought up, is mentioned by the Father. He says, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread until you return to the dust, for out of it you were taken, and to it you will return. So bread and work are always connected when it comes to the scriptures. And it doesn't, I mean, that's true in just secular realities as well. I mean, bread doesn't grow on trees. There is a process that a human being has to go through in order to have a nice warm piece of bread. And I hope he gets some butter with it, because come on, we all want that. But throughout the scriptures, you know, obviously beginning with Adam, but then Moses, he's got the people of Israel complaining and they're so upset and they're thinking back to their leeks and their onions and their, why couldn't we have that? And eventually they get free bread, manna, and they get exactly what they need. They literally get daily bread. And even with the Sabbath understanding, you know, the exception made for a Sabbath collection so that they don't have to on the Sabbath day, where they rest from work. And then Abraham, we've got Melchizedek showing up. He brings in bread and wine. It's wine, yeah. An interesting mm-hmm. interaction there. David, King David, eats forbidden bread, right? The bread of the presence, and that's all there is. And so the priest says, all right, go for it. But again, like even that, like they need to eat. This bread is set apart for something else. And yet with permission, David and his men are given this free bread. You think of the prophet Elijah and the drought, the famine that God said, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And Elijah is provided for. This is pre-Grubhub and Uber Eats. He's got ravens dropping off bread and meat, right? And also the widow. They don't run out of what they need to continue to have bread, to make bread. And it is no accident that Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread, and the work and these associations that go with it. Also his miracles, feeding of the 5,000. I mean, most everybody knows, even those who aren't connected to the church, has heard of this idea that he multiplied the fish and the loaves, right? And then the feeding of the 4,000, where he does it, you know, again, in a different context. And of course, the greatest miracle that we get every week, he comes to us in bread. Doesn't really taste like bread, doesn't really look like bread, but this is how we receive communion with God. We receive the promise that our sin is put away, that the work of our salvation is complete. And we have also the surety of a place reserved for us at the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which will have no end. And I've been living in Wisconsin here for 12 years. I never heard of a thing called kringle, Danish kringle. Never heard of it. It's big in Racine. And it is a flaky bread-like substance. So I always tell people, I think that manna and kringle are one and the same. And it's also offered at almost any event, you know, coffee hour, funeral receptions, you know, weddings. Kringle is always there. And I believe that the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which will have no end, I believe that both cheese curds, fried cheese curds, and Kringle are going to be served. In addition to, you know, bread.
Write that down, folks. Write that down. Yeah, yeah. Now, just for the sake of joy here, since he's not going to quote movies as much, he kind of promised already, is what kind of Kringle? There's different kinds of Kringles? Just I want to know. I'm intrigued. Yeah.
There's a lot of different kinds. And you can see proof of that. If you look at the Bugenhagen Conference recap video, there's usually some good, some beautiful Danish Kringle footage, unlike the Bush's baked beans. The best Kringle, in my opinion, is the Wisconsin Kringle. And that you've got a layer of cream cheese and a layer, what is it? Some berry. Why am I not remembering? I don't remember. A berry of some kind. And I think the most popular is the pecan. I think that's what most everybody goes for. I mean, it tastes like a slice of pecan pie.
There it is. See? Well, you've heard it here, folks. This is the wide scope that Luther was speaking about. So we pray for those who make Danish Kringles as well, for the cheese curds at our state fair.
Absolutely.
All of this is very, very, very important. But it does bring back to the point of how we pray, Lord, thank you for this daily bread. And we pray that he will continue to provide in the hands that provide it, which I think is something interesting to me that I've been involved when I was on Vicarage in a call it Kairos Torch, which was a juvenile facility ministry where there are people from numerous denominations where we would meet with young men and hopefully mentor them and bring them God's word and so forth. And almost everybody that I know, when they would pray for a meal, they would always say, Lord, bless the hands that prepared this food for us. Which I find interesting. So this understanding of Luther really is, I want to say ecumenical, that could be dangerous words on here, but just saying it, people do have an understanding that we just don't pray, thanks for this food, but we think of those who made it. We think of the people who provide it. We pray for the farmers. We thank God for the truck drivers, all of them, including, like I said, the Danish Kringle people. So, Pastor, anything else you want to highlight in those first two sections?
Yeah, it is just, what you're offering is an important reminder of we should thank God for the food that he gives us, like before we eat it. I'm guessing most of the listeners are already in that habit and wouldn't even consider not. It is a funny thing. I don't know about funny, but it is a strange thing where there are many people who do not consider doing that at all. It is not something that they've seen, or it's not something they're familiar with. It is certainly not something they grew up with. And I always find it so strange where it's like, well, how does your meal start? It's just, I mean, do you all wait for everybody and then you just dig in or whatever? I don't know. But this does open up a very important question. So the common table prayer, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let, what's the next?
Oh, this is where the rubber hits the road and people get loud in their own preference at a pastor's conference. And let these or thy, right? Correct?
Yeah, well, which is it for you?
I grew up with these.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I did too. And so that's what I continue to do. That's what that's what we do in our house. But half of my siblings, I got a brother and two sisters. So we're half and half. And I am certain that we grew up saying these, and there's like unconfirmed reports that no, we grew up with thy. And so I'm like, I don't think that's not how I recall it. And I will admit, though, even at like, I've been in this circuit for 12 years, even at like circuit things where it's like, we're going to pray, or if it's like a youth group thing before pizza is served, if I'm in charge, or we've got a monthly meal as a congregation here too, we call it Fellowship Friday. When I'm in charge and I'm the loud voice starting the prayer, I usually go, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let to us be blessed. I tone it down a little bit so as not to cause controversy. But I'm glad you're a these guy. I'm glad you're a these guy. Good for you.
I grew up with it, and I'm a traditionalist, I suppose. But yes, it is funny because typically, and this is good fun for our listeners, but I think the emphasis is right, thy, meaning it comes from God, and it's the emphasis of reminding. I think some people said that's more of the German.
Shoot, are you going to convert me?
No, I'm not trying to because I'm a these guy. But it is something I could see why they get all excited about it. But if you go to a pastor's conference, the thy guys are the guys who get really loud. Thy, you know, they'll start yelling it out. As opposed to, you know, maybe we're not being bold enough where we kind of get quiet and say these. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Anyways, we could talk all day on that. All right, let's move on. We're on page 417, section 73. To sum things up, this petition includes everything that belongs to our entire life in the world. For we need daily bread because of life alone. It is not only necessary for our life that our body have food and clothes and other necessities. It is also necessary that we spend our days in peace and quiet among the people with whom we live and have dealings in daily business and conversation and all sorts of doings. In short, this petition applies both to the household and also to the neighborly or civil relationship in government. Where these two things are hindered so that they do not prosper as they should, the necessities of life also are hindered. Ultimately, life cannot be maintained. There is indeed the greatest need to pray for earthly authority and government. By them, most of all, God preserves for us our daily bread and all the comforts of this life. Though we have received from God all good things in abundance, we are not able to keep any of them or use them in security and happiness if he did not give us a permanent and peaceful government. For where there are dissension, strife, and war, there the daily bread is taken away, or at least hindered. It would be very proper to place on the coat of arms of every pious prince a loaf of bread instead of a lion or a wreath of herbs, or one could impress it on money. This would remind both princes and their subjects that by their office we have protection and peace. Without them, we could not eat and keep our daily bread. Therefore, princes are also worthy of all honor. We should give to them for their office what we ought and can, as to people through whom we enjoy what we have in peace and quietness. Otherwise, we would not keep a farthing. In addition, we should also pray for them, that through them God may bestow on us more blessings and goods. As you mentioned prior, at the beginning of this program, it is something that we do value government. And so how does Luther tell us on how we should value and also what we are to do for our government leaders?
Yeah, we do, as we pray for them, we should pray for them every day. We should thank God for them, whether or not we voted for them. And we can call them to keep their commitments. You know, every leader in government takes an oath of office and is held to what is agreed upon by those who place them into those positions through the vote. And so, you know, where there is a problem, we have every right to at least write them a letter. And if they're not listening, we can pull an Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption, write two letters a week, right? But we should be thankful for the peace and the order that they give us, because it doesn't take long. I was just talking about this with my daughters. I don't remember exactly why. But like when the power goes out in your house, you kind of start to wonder, okay, how long is this going to be? And when I was growing up, it was a whole lot more of a mystery. It was like you couldn't, you know, look it up online, or you couldn't, I guess you could call the power company and they would be like, oh, we estimate, you know, 10 to 12 hours. But we didn't really do that. We just kind of wondered, when's it going to come back? Mm-hmm. And when it didn't come back for a while, it would always be this question of, oh, shoot, is it worth opening the fridge? Should we open the fridge? And then it'll lose some of its coolness. And what do we really need something out of the fridge right now? On a much larger scale, when a nation is at war, food is like almost, it is such an important thing. Or when, you know, when there's strife, just civil strife, people start to riot. Even when a big storm is predicted, what happens to the shelves? All the bread just disappears, right? Because everybody's like, that was definitely with COVID. And it was before, you're right. But I didn't want to talk about the digestive system. You're bringing that
right.
up.
I'm not trying. Okay, keep going.
But there's panic because what is my next meal going to look like? What is my family going to have to eat? And in times of war, it is a real question. And so we should be thankful. If we woke up today and our fridge was working and I can go to the store and buy a reasonable amount of food and have what I need for the week, or if I'm going to Sam's, you know, the next 4 years, whatever we have opportunity for, we should be thankful, and we should recognize this is obviously first because of God and his providing hand, but because he has placed people who are doing what is needed for me to live a quiet and peaceable life. That's these two work together, and we should be thankful for them.
Well, we need to take our break. We are studying the fourth petition, Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, of the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Jack Gilbert. We'll be right back.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.
And welcome back. We are studying the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, as confessed in Luther's Large Catechism, with Pastor Jack Gilbert of St. John Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. So, Pastor, I want to get to the prayer piece and how that looks for us as Christian people. But he really, as you mentioned prior, that we, when there is strife, we realize how fickle things are in our world, that we also realize the importance of having good quality leaders in those positions so that we will be provided for, that we pray for wisdom for them as they fulfill this vocation, and how important it is, especially when you see of war-torn areas around the world and a lack of good government. And so, Pastor, anything else you want to share on that? And I want to talk about prayer too, but just anything else on that?
Yeah. It's reminiscent of the story of Joseph and how he sees through the Lord's interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, there's some good stuff coming and there's some really bad stuff after. And that part of the world, Egypt, and how many different peoples were coming to Egypt because Pharaoh, through this dream, through Joseph interpreting it by God's power, was able to provide grain for people who would have had nothing. They would have, who knows how many people would have starved to death. And it's an interesting point, because the intense amount of suffering that Joseph went through in order for God to save many lives, and just the betrayal and the sadness and false accusation, everything that he went through, God brought him through it, and he used Joseph to keep people eating bread. Right. So anyway, that's just a nice biblical reminder of government and forward thinking, you might say. Obviously, it helps when you've got a divine dream being interpreted truly. But also, I hope you don't mind, is during the break, I took some time and I looked up the Finnern family coat of arms.
Nice.
I don't know if you've ever... Yeah,
I've never looked this up. I'm excited now.
Yeah. Yeah. So you should be proud of your family and your upbringing, because your coat of arms, there's no lion, there's no swords. It is just a gigantic loaf of bread.
Well, we have a lot of farmers in the background. Yeah, they came over and they farmed.
There you go.
That must be what it is. That must be what it is. Now we know.
They were so Lutheran that they were like, hey, Luther thinks that a family coat of arms should be bread. Let's just do this thing, guys. Let's
look it up. Yeah. And that isn't.
Okay, I'm kidding. I didn't actually look into that.
Yeah, well, close enough. Well, that's what Luther says here. It is interesting how he speaks about that. One, we don't talk about coat of arms very often, so it definitely is contextual there. But definitely everywhere we look, it should have that bread as a reminder of what we provide and the gift that the Lord gives through us. So give us your thoughts about coat of arms besides the Finnern one.
Yeah, obviously it's a long family heritage thing that some get into more than others, and it was more important in history. When I was in college, I made some friends with some of the guys on our floor my freshman year, and at one point I drew a really stupid, you know, I was making fun of a guy, one of our friends, with the others, and I called it his it was an insulting drawing, we'll say. and I called it his family's coat of arms. And he was really not pleased with that. And beyond that, I don't really do much with coats of arms. I don't have anything. I did look up Finnern coat of arms just to see if I could find anything. And I was going to, of course, say that it's a loaf of bread. But there's websites where you can find it out, and then they'll mail it to you. You can frame it and put it up in your house if you so choose. They were telling me it was going to take 24 hours before they told me the Finnern family coat of arms, and I didn't have that long during the break.
No, we didn't. It was not a long enough break. But it definitely is a good reminder. And I think in America, we've tried to do this. When you look on your money and it says, "In God we trust." You know, that is trying to be a remembrance of, okay, all right, when I have this money, it is a gift from God. Is that universally understood? Absolutely not. But it's a good reminder for us, too, about this is a gift from God. And it's a good reminder for government leaders. And so how can we make sure that people are reminded this is a gift from the Lord? So Pastor, I want to get to the prayer piece of it. Like I mentioned before, that in our litanies, especially the Great Litany, and in many of the prayers, printed prayers that you will see in our Lutheran service book and other prayer writings for us as Lutherans, it will definitely uplift the government leaders. And I'm kind of intrigued now with the piety, the daily worship, the daily practices of Christian people about praying for government leaders. Any thoughts on that and how encourage our listeners and how they can pray for the government leaders as the baptized?
Yeah, you ask God to bless them, bless their efforts. One of the patterns of prayer that I've been following for a long time, I thank God for everyone in my family, my immediate family, my parents, my siblings, their spouses, their children, my wife, my own, you know, four daughters, and for those that I ask God to keep them safe, healthy, and in the faith according to His will. To bless the work He's given them to do, to keep them faithful in their vocations, to give them a good disposition. And if they're one of my, we call them nieflings in my family. It saves time instead of nieces or nephews. We just go with nieflings. If it's one of my nieflings who is not married, I say lead him, her, to a godly husband, wife. For my daughters, I throw in lead her to a godly husband that I will like. And I do that because I know I have to play a role in that. And I have to, but I've been praying like that for a long time. I thank God for many of my pastor friends, the guys in the circuit. I ask Him to bless those guys. And the synod president by name and our district president here in South Wisconsin, we've got a new one. I ask Him that same thing. Keep them faithful in their vocations. Bless the work You've given them to do. Honestly, our conversation here is reminding me, while we do pray for the president and the governor and the state legislature in our prayers regularly, week after week here at St. John's, I don't personally thank God for our president in my own prayers. And I think this is an important reminder that I should. And there's no reason that our elected president should not be included in the same request that I'm making for my family, for my fellow pastors, and for those that He has placed above me in our church body. So, yeah, to the listeners, I say, do it. It doesn't have to be the same pattern that I use, but I would encourage you to start doing it, and maybe I'll start tomorrow morning. That's I do my morning prayers. That's the one of the systems that I follow. And I suppose I can throw President Trump in there too.
That's right. That's right. And I think about this quite a bit in my own community here in Sartell, Minnesota. You know, we would pray at least monthly for the city council and the mayor and so forth. And we had other representatives on my walk. One of our congressmen is a guy that I would see on my walks. And so it was always a good reminder for me when I would see him and greet him that, okay, the Lord has called me to pray for him as well. So the list can be forever, but guess what? This is a good Christian and a good Christian thing for us to do as He commands us in 1 Timothy chapter 2. So Pastor, anything else you want to highlight in our first few sections before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, Luther says that we should impress this idea of a loaf of bread on our money. We don't have that, but at least we call it dough.
See, when we say that, it's Lutheran. That was a Lutheran way of looking at it.
There we go. It must now have we started
know.
With
now
him.
We know. All right, let's move on. 417, we're in section 76. Let this be a very brief explanation and sketch, showing how far this petition extends through all conditions on earth. On this topic, anyone might indeed make a long prayer. With many words, one could list all the things that are included, like when we ask God to give us food and drink, clothing, house and home, and health and body. Or when we ask that he cause the grain and fruit of the field to grow and mature well. Furthermore, we ask that he help us at home with good housekeeping, and that he give and preserve for us a godly wife, children, and servants. We ask that he cause our work, trade, and whatever we are engaged in to prosper and succeed. Favor us with faithful neighbors and good friends and other such things. Likewise, we ask that he give wisdom, strength, and success to emperors, kings, and all estates, and especially to the rulers of our country and to all counselors, magistrates, and officers. Then we may govern well and vanquish the Turks and all enemies. We ask that he gives to subjects and to common people obedience, peace, and harmony in their life with one another. On the other hand, we ask that he would preserve us from all sorts of disaster to body and livelihood, like lightning, hail, fire, flood, poison, plague, cattle disease, war and bloodshed, famine, destructive beasts, wicked men, and so forth. It is well to impress all this upon the common people. These things come from God and must be prayed for by us. So I thought the list that he did in the Small Catechism was extensive, but he definitely takes it to a new level on this one. And to me, a reminder of how much I should be praying.
It goes a little larger.
Little larger scope, yep, as he says here in the Large Catechism. So, Pastor, anything you want to highlight on this? I have a few that are kind of fun. Cattle disease, haven't prayed for that one yet. What was the other one I saw? That
guilty as well.
Yeah.
So, destructive beasts.
Destructive beasts. So, anyway, so anything else you want to highlight on that? It's self-explanatory, but very important for us to consider.
Yeah, one of the things that I enjoy when going through the Lord's Prayer with the 8th grade class here at St. John's, we've got long-standing tradition of a public exam, and all those students that are going to be confirmed, I give them a whole long list of questions, and it's their task to find the correct answers and then be able to provide them in front of the congregation. We do it during the Bible study hour in between our services on Palm Sunday when they get confirmed. And one of the things when we get to the Lord's Prayer, I ask them, so usually each confirmand gets a question and then the answer is provided and then the microphone is passed to the next one. But there's a few of them where I say, all of you, each one of you has to give an answer for this question. And so you'll just be moving the microphone around somewhat quickly. And on the fourth petition, I say, give me one example of daily bread. Mm. And, you know, they all have to provide one thing. Because again, as we see, as we've been discussing, there's a lot of different things that can be said. And some years they get creative. This past year, they started saying, like, different fast food items, you know, like that kind of became the theme where they're like talking about Arby's and McDonald's or whatever. But one year, I don't remember which year it was, but one year, it made me laugh because we would go through and we would get ready for the actual exam. And so one year, one of them starts off with, you know, a slice of white bread. And then the next one says green lettuce. And over time, we're just building one sandwich with these examples, yes, of daily bread. And that was a fun, creative approach to it. But I like to tell them, too, when we're... Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking at my... I'm getting hungry.
A slathering of mayonnaise. Yeah. Well, that's what I told them, too. I'm like, hey, come on. We still got church service. No confirmation parties yet. But one of the things that I encourage them is when we start with the fourth petition in class, I say... What was your daily bread today? Like, what have you eaten today? Mm. And how did you get it? And we go just up and down in the classroom. And I personally don't eat breakfast. I very rarely will eat breakfast. It started when I was toward the end of my time in high school. Must have been my senior year. My brother, school for him didn't start until 9:30, so he could sleep in. My sisters were both in college, and my parents were both in work. So I would have to wake up and be on my own. I mean, I was 17, 18 years old, so don't cry for me, Argentina. It wasn't too big of a deal. But I decided I would rather get 7 more minutes of sleep or 15 more minutes of sleep, then prepare and eat breakfast. And so that's just what I did, and I never really changed that. And so I always tell them, I say, I remember every day what I had for breakfast. You know, if they're not really talking about it, I say, it's so easy for me to remember. They're like, what, do you eat the same thing? I'm like, yeah, nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
But from the beginning, and I'm not a nutritionist. This is not dietary advice. But from the beginning, when we're talking about the fourth petition, I want them to recognize everything you have came from someone. And a lot of times it's people you'll never see. Absolutely. And these are the people that God is using to keep you alive. And you should thank him for it before you eat it. Actually, at our school, my office is very close to the cafeteria. And the teachers take them through, at least with middle school for sure, they take them through a short prayer of thanksgiving. And then at the end, they thank God too. Which, so they bookend their meal with a prayer. And I like hearing that. I like that. That's something that our teachers are showing. Hey, before you eat, give thanks. And after you eat, you can thank him that you didn't choke or something. I don't know.
That's right. That's right. Well, and it's interesting, too, because how he ends, these things come from God and must be prayed for by us. I find it interesting of how much Luther speaks about prayer. And obviously, you have the prayer instruction he has for his barber, which is just a wonderful little booklet that I encourage everyone to look at. And because then it makes it even more like, wow, not only should I pray more often, but here's a way of doing it that really extends all of the life of prayer. But to speak about prayer so much, I think there might be kind of a mentality that Lutherans don't pray. You know, that you have other kind of denominations or backgrounds like Baptists or Pentecostals who will speak a prayer almost like sacramental way, which is a little bit uncomfortable and almost trying to drum up God in order to get what we want, which we talked about in the previous petitions. But I find it fascinating, if we go with what Luther says, that we should and can pray a whole lot more, and it's a major part of our everyday life. And Pastor, I want to hear this from you. When, you know, I graduated in 06 from seminary, and what amazed me is a lot of the people when I was in North Prairie, Wisconsin, not too far away from where you are.
Yeah, circuit that, away.
That's right. Is that very much so, the older generation, they were people of prayer. They had their prayer books. They had their portals of prayer. They prayed the Psalms. I remember Millie Simon, she had a whole stack of books of what she would pray every single day. And then she would always end, and it made me feel frustrated. When I was frustrated, this is something that gave me great comfort. She would tell me every visit, and Pastor, I pray for you and your family every single day. So Pastor, any examples you have when you've worked with people and the piety of prayer for us as Lutherans?
Yeah, I've seen the same. You know, St. John's long-standing congregation was established in 1862, so there's been generations and generations of God's people who've received his word and his sacraments and responded in thankfulness and praise. I have seen, you know, some older couples, they have a Bible that they received from the pastor that when they got married, and they show it to me. There was a long-standing pastor. Pastor Schaefer is the name that rings out at St. John's. He was here for 40 some years and faithful man. And they would show me that, hey, I got this from Pastor Schaefer when he got married. And or students, like, they got confirmed. And I specifically remember one. It was handwritten by Pastor Schaefer, and in the, you know, the front cover of the Bible, and it said, you know, the confirmand's name, and it said, I don't remember the specifics. It was kind of long, but it ended with, will you read it? ? I haven't started doing that, even though I saw this, I don't know how many years ago. And I really think we do give them a Bible, but I should do that. I should do that because I want to encourage the students. I want them to recognize that reading God's word, praying every day, these are important parts of being a Christian. And I tell you what else, just like what you had with Millie, when someone, usually it's shut-ins, when they tell me, Pastor, I pray for you every day, I believe them, and I am very thankful to know. And there's probably many more that I don't know that they haven't told me. But that's why I do go out of my way we just elected a new district president, and I've told him now twice, hey, you just made my morning, my daily morning prayer list. And he's appreciative. And I would encourage definitely any pastors listening, pray for your district president by name and for our synod president. And I would encourage any listeners, pray for your pastor every day and thank God for the work that he's given him and ask him to bless that work and find ways how you can be supportive of it. It's one thing when people say, I pray for you every day, like I really appreciate that. It's another thing when people show up and they help out and they say, what can I do? What do we need? It's something that I think every pastor is grateful for.
I'm into that. So we are on page 418.
Wait.
Hold on one second there, Jack. Did we get some back? Is something going on there that I heard myself?
My headphones stopped working.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So here we go. I'll kind of make a note of that. I don't hear myself now, so we're good.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. So let's keep moving on. We have about 8 minutes left in our time. We're on page 418. We'll finish out the fourth petition on section 80. But this petition is especially directed against our chief enemy, the devil. For all his thoughts and desire is to deprive us of all that we have from God or to hinder it. He is not satisfied to obstruct and destroy spiritual government by leading souls astray with his lies and bringing them under his power. He also prevents and hinders the stability of all government and honorable, peaceable relations on earth. There he causes so much contention, murder, treason, and war. He also causes lightning to hail and hail to destroy grain and cattle, to poison the air, and so on. In short, he is sorry if anyone has a morsel of bread from God and eats it in peace. If it were in his power and our prayer next to God did not prevent him, we would not keep a straw in the field, a farthing in the house, yes, not even our life for an hour. This is especially true of those who have God's word and would like to be Christians. You see, in this way, God wishes to show us how he cares for us in all our need and faithfully provides also for our earthly support. He abundantly grants and preserves these things, even for the wicked and the rogues. Yet he wishes that we pray for these goods in order that we may recognize that we receive them from his hand and may feel his fatherly goodness toward us in them. For when he withdraws his hand, nothing can prosper or be maintained in the end. Indeed, we daily see this and experience it. How much trouble there is now in the world only on account of bad coins, daily oppression, raising of prices in common trade, and bargaining and labor by those who greedily oppress the poor and deprive them of their daily bread. This we must suffer indeed, but let such people take care so that they do not lose the benefits of common intercession. Let them be aware, lest this petition in the Lord's Prayer speak against them. So, Pastor, he speaks, and we speak about this in the previous petition about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which was last week, and with Pastor Ketchemeyer, to speak about the battle with the devil. And the devil is the father of lies, and he's working in this world. And he speaks about how what the chief enemy is desiring to do. So, Pastor, speak about that for us.
Yeah, all he wants is for us to be separated from our faith. He has no shot at salvation. God did not become an angel to save the angels that fell. He became a man to save the men that fell. And so his aim is to disturb and disrupt and to separate us from that eternal inheritance that is kept in heaven for us by God's grace. And what does he do? What are his most effective means? It is through our circumstances. And he is powerful. He is not all powerful, but he does cause these things that Luther lists, you know, lightning, hail, famine, poison in the air. He has the ability to do these things. And just like when the power goes out and is it really worth opening the fridge, just like when war begins to rage and how much food do I have, how long can I survive, even on small scale things, where when we're not getting what we think we want, when we let our circumstances define who God is and how we think he views us, that's when the devil is gaining ground. And instead of drawing our understanding of God from God's word, the devil tries to convince us in good circumstances or bad, well, God, this is how God views you. This is who God is to you. And so he wants us to join us in his unavoidable doom. And he has misled many, many people to believing, perhaps, I provide my own bread. I don't need to thank God for this. I'm able, you know, I bought my house, I bought my car, I go to work. This is all stuff that I'm doing for myself. And as the old saying goes, a good lie is mostly true. A lot of people can believe that and not recognize, hey, I didn't get my heart beating. I didn't bring my parents together and say, you guys might really like each other. You know, none of us could claim that we're responsible solely for our own, you know, self-perpetuation. We didn't start it. It's not ours to end. And in between, we should recognize, while there is an enemy that wants us to step away and to disregard God's word, we also have a God who speaks to us through his word and through his means, like we were talking about before, both with salvation and with daily bread. And what does Luther say? He says, we've got a powerful enemy, and he really doesn't want us to recognize the good work that God brings us daily bread through, including the people around us. And he wants us to look at disaster, danger, whatever it might be, and say, that's more important than the meal you ate today and the resources behind it that made it possible.
I really enjoy how Luther gives us a moment where, what would it be like if God withdrew his hand from your daily bread? And this reminds me of, I don't know if you remember this, Pastor Gilbert, back in the day they had If Humanity Disappeared in One Day kind of shows where they would show New York City and like, if humanity disappeared today or humankind did, and then within a month, you know, this building would fall down, or within a month, this would break down. And I don't know why I enjoyed this. Maybe because I enjoy when I see things fall apart, because then it reminds me we need a resurrection or something. But it would go through, sure, this, like, yeah, 20 years and 50 years, 100 years, you know, the World Trade Center and whatever would happen. The Brooklyn Bridge would be destroyed or something. But it kind of, he just gives us that little glimpse of saying, what if God withdrew his hand? What would happen? And it clearly, there's just war and oppression and bad coins and prices and common trade, bargaining, all these things would prevent us from daily bread. And so we thank God for God not withdrawing his hand, and two, that he works through the means of which he does. So Pastor, with about 2 minutes left in our time, I don't know, wrap this up for us and encourage our listeners when it comes to give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah, well, where we're at here, again, on page 418, Luther gives this thing. He says, in short, he that is the devil is sorry if anyone has a morsel of bread from God and eats it in peace. Mm-hmm. For our Simpsons-loving audience, you got to remember the episode where Santa's little helper has puppies with some other dog, I don't remember, and they have to deal with all these puppies in the house. And Homer, poor Homer, he's losing his socks. They're like chewing his socks to pieces. And finally, he sits down, he's got a bag of potato chips, and he wants to eat a potato chip, and he brings it to his mouth, and then a little puppy jumps across the screen and grabs the chip from his hand right before he's about to bite it. And then, you know, Homer being what he is, he doesn't quite understand what's happening, and it keeps over and over and over. So whenever I read this in large catechism, I picture Homer Simpson and his struggle to eat a potato chip. We might laugh about that, but really, when we find ourselves in bodily need, that is a very scary thing, and it is an immediate circumstance that can disrupt even our faith. We could wonder, where is God? He taught me to pray for my daily bread. Why don't I have it now? Why don't I have it like I used to? Why don't I have it like I want to? Another thing, just with the concept of prayer and thankfulness, we had a Thanksgiving Eve service a number of years ago, and I've told this story enough times, and I feel bad every time because I don't remember who it was. But one after the Thanksgiving Eve service, of course, with the theme of being thankful, one of the members, an older lady, came out and she said, "Oh, you know, thanks for the service. So good, nice to see you. And, you know, thanks for the sermon." And she said, and I don't know if she had picked this up somewhere else. I had never heard it. But she said, "Here's something to think about. What would tomorrow look like for you if tomorrow you didn't have anything you didn't thank God for today?"
Mm.
And I was like, hey, it's kind of like your example of what happens if people aren't here anymore. Like, daily maintenance is an important part of our lives, and that includes our faith life. And while there's nothing, of course, that says God's going to take away all the people you didn't say thankful for, God's going to, you know, take away your TV and your computer or your house or your car. Like, there's nothing that says that in the scriptures. There's no reason to think that it's true. But that's not the point of that question or that thought. The point of that question is, how thankful are you for all of the things that God gives you today? And so I've never used it in a Thanksgiving Eve sermon, but at least I've got one ready to go in a pinch, and I can build something around that. But I do use it in conversation, you know, in visits and in conversations with members here. And I wish I remembered who it was that told me that who put that forward to me. But I'm thankful that I had that conversation with her, short conversation as it was in the narthex. And at the same time, I do tell this to the confirmands every year. And I remember one particular student, they were thinking about it. We're kind of discussing it, not spending a ton of time. And he says, "Oh, that's good." He says, "But that's easy." I said, "Okay, what do you got?" He goes, "Just say, 'Dear God, thanks for everything.'" I'm like, okay. Okay.
Well, that ends our time. Pastor Jack Gilbert of St. John Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin, confessing the truth of the Lord's Prayer in Luther's Large Catechism. Pastor Gilbert, thank you for being our guest.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and God's blessings on your work.
I'm your host, Pastor Brady Finnern. Thank you for joining us, and the Lord keep you safe in the palm of his hand.